Our meeting this evening, my friends, is in the interest of the strict and particular Baptist Ministers' Help Society. The title has an appeal to ministers because there is not a body of men under the sun that are in such continual need of help. I know this society is founded to meet the material needs of ministers in straitened circumstances, and that is a worthy cause. But what I refer to primarily is that help that ministers need continually. There is not a more helpless body of men under the sun than the ministers of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul realized this when he wrote those words with such feeling and desire, "Brethren, pray for us." I hope that even the title of this society may register upon our minds and cause us to realize the helplessness of the minister in and of themselves, and their constant need of that divine help which alone can make them fruitful to the glory of God and the profit of, and profitable to their fellow men. The society, the committee of this society, recently asked me if I would join as a Midland representative in a succession to our late and beloved friend, Mr. F.L. Rao. I felt inclined to accede to their request, and I was pleased to attend the first opportunity of meeting with them as a committee at Tunbridge Wells some 4 weeks ago. I can only say of the spirit of that meeting, it was the spirit of Christ. And the burden of those present under the chairmanship of Mr. Stanley Dowes was indeed to do that which is right for the help and comfort of the needy, of the Lord's servants and their widows and dependents. My friends, I feel if you were conscious of the spirit prevailing in that meeting, it would incline you to support this worthy society in whose interests we meet this evening. Now, Mr. Mercer needs no introduction from me. We look upon him as an old warrior in the cause of Jesus Christ. We have prayed with our friend that the Lord would help him and bless him this evening and make him a blessing to us. May those prayers be answered. And may our dear friend realize that the Lord has made his way prosperous, even in visiting us once more this evening. I therefore have pleasure in calling upon our dear friend Mr. Mercer now to address us. Mr. Mercer, please.
My beloved friend, Harold, chairman of this meeting, pastor of this church, and I believe servant of God, and you dear friends that are gathered with us at this particular time, I would thank you for your presence and support, in that we believe you have come along with that same spirit of Christ in your hearts as we have heard of from the chair. And may we each feel that much needed help as we seek to speak a few things, praying that they may be to the use of edifying, that they may minister grace to the hearers, wherein and whereby the Lord's name should be exalted and extolled. I have pleasure to be with you again to represent our little society, and I'm sure the committee would return thanks to God and to you and to all that support this worthy cause. And we would thank the Lord that we have been spared and able to still go on serving the Church of God, especially His aged and afflicted servants, and that when He sees fit to take one and another, He also raises up another. How we have seen that in the Word of God, when He was about to take Moses, He prepared Joshua. When He was about to take Elijah, He prepared Elisha. We often know what it is to get into a similar position as Elijah did when, under the juniper tree, we request for ourselves we might die. We're no better than our fathers. But we are very often very poor judges of whether our work is done or not, which we know the Lord showed Elijah plainly when He told him he had further work to do. Well, now, as I come this evening, I have felt a little like Elijah under the juniper tree, but I do hope that as he was blessed with meat which strengthened him, and he went in the strength of it many days, may we know all together here this evening what it is to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, that gracious friend of whom we have sung and of whom I want to speak this evening, so that we might even say as He said to His disciples when they said, "Master, eat," and He intimated He needed at nothing, because He said, "I have meat to eat that the world knows not of. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." And what a meat it was. Well, now may we be followers of the meek and lowly Lamb. Now, don't you have already gathered from the hymns we have sung the basis of the few remarks I want to make at this time, which you will find in the 18th chapter of Proverbs, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I believe these words are more or less, in a sense, the foundation of the little society to which we belong and wish to support from time to time as help to do so. Because of this word here, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, I think of the late dear servant of God who was the means of this society being inaugurated. I knew him personally and loved him for the true sake. And at one time he was in Red Hill, connected with the church over which the Lord has placed me as pastor, unworthy as I feel to be. And that dear man of God realized, I believe, the force of the words here before us, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And of course, as we look away from men and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, He is here before us, and I would speak of him as my friend and say with the spouse, that is what we want to say, this is my beloved and this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. What a wonderful thing friendship is in the midst of much turmoil and distress, antagonism, and the many things that are abroad in the earth today. Still we have that wonderful gift of friendship and the fulfillment of the words of our text, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Because of this friend, my friends, how we rejoice this evening to come to speak to you as our friends here at Old Hill. Now, the first reference I want to notice in connection with this is found in the chapter that was read, where the Lord Jesus Christ said in the 14th and 15th verses of that 15th of John, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." How the Lord Jesus Christ manifested to all around when he was here on earth that wonderful blessing of friendship. Think of him going to those sorrowing sisters and standing by the grave of Lazarus. He had said just prior to it to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." What a wonderful word dropping from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of poor, lost, ruined sinners. He who had come down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. And so he goes to those sorrowing sisters, stands by the grave, and says to that one in the grave, "Lazarus, come forth." By his almighty power, he proved himself to be what he said he was. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And he had proved it before, had he not? In going to the death chamber where the maid was, and raising her from death to life. What a friend he was to those sorrowing parents, restoring to them that beloved daughter. You think of it, we read it, but think of it, my friends. What a great mark of friendship it was to go into that home as he did and raise that daughter. Put yourself in the position for a moment. Think of how you would feel if the Lord had suddenly called away one of your family, and then a friend came along, the friend came along, and that dead daughter was raised to life and restored to those sorrowing, bereaved parents. And then again, on the way to the grave, he meets a poor widow. She had lost her son, and he meets this funeral procession, and he stops the whole thing. He speaks to the one on the bier, "Arise." And he that was dead sat up, and there again was life given. Oh, my friends, and his almighty power is still the same. Have you those loved ones that you feel to be not only, as you know, those that we've spoken of were literally dead, but are there not many that are spiritually dead? And now we're continually bringing them to the throne of grace, that the Lord would quicken them and make them cry, "Give me Christ, or else I die." Bring them out of a death in sin to a life in righteousness, and restore them in the way that only He can. Oh, we would look to Him then, who is indeed a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and realize that He is our friend, and that we are indeed His friends, as He says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." You know, there are many of our own people who speak of following the Lord Jesus Christ in the ordinance of baptism, and they say to us sometimes, "I've had no leadings in the matter." Well, my friends, I don't think we want anything clearer than this. If we want to know what the Lord's mind, will, and purpose is relative to His ordinances, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Just by the way, I dropped that hint. There may be someone here this evening, I don't know, the Lord does, who are halting between two opinions. Well, the Lord bring you away from that place to a place where you feel, well, now, the Lord Jesus says, "I must do whatsoever He commands." And you know what He's commanded. If you've forgotten it, you can read it. It's still there in your Bible as well as it is in mine. Well, now, to see one or two in the Word of God that are blessedly set before us as friends and knew what friendship meant, I turn for a moment to the first book of Samuel and the 18th verse, the 18th chapter, the first verse. And I see there in the Old Testament a mark of friendship, and not just mere friendship, but a wonderful union of spirit. You see, where there's real spiritual friendship, there'll be a union of spirit. There'll be a flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. And we read in the first book of Samuel, chapter 18, verse 1, "And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." What a wonderful love that was, passing the love of women. And when Jonathan was killed, oh, the distress that David had. "I am distressed for thee, brother Jonathan." And I believe where there's real love, there'll be real distress when the Lord sees fit to sever that friendship as far as this world is concerned. And so, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And then we turn to the writings of the Apostle Paul, as he wrote in his epistle to the Colossians, and see what Paul has to say about it. He was brought from darkness to light, from the power of sin and Satan to God, from a false profession of religion to know what reality was. And when he wrote to the church at Colossae, as we find it in the second chapter and verse 2, concerning this friendship that we are speaking of this evening, that their hearts, and it's heart work, my friends, where there's real friendship. It isn't just head work, head knowledge. It's heart work. I often speak of the significance of what we so often do, and perhaps lose sight of the significance of it when we shake hands with one another. You know, really, it's shaking hearts. We clasp one another's right hand, and where there's love in the heart, there'll be a grip of the hand. Have you felt it? Have you realized it? It is a great blessing. And you know, I've said this sometimes. I've noticed there are some people do not like a hard grip of the hand. They say it hurts, but it's because they don't grip themselves. A shake hand, a real shake hands, will never hurt if both the hands grip, because there's no hurt in it. It's a wonderful thing, is that. And may we know more of this that the apostle brings before us, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. This society, my friends, I believe it's been the means many, many times of hearts being comforted when some of the Lord's servants who have labored year in and year out and have spent, have desired to spend and be spent and have done so. And then the Lord sees fit to put into the heart of his servants on the committee and others to send some help in that very time that they need it. And they know what it is to be comforted, because they're knit together in love. And then it'll be unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then the apostle follows it up, and he writes his epistle to the Corinthians. Second epistle to the Corinthians, we see it very beautifully set before us in the first chapter, second epistle, first chapter, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you all. Those two things, my friends, where there's real friendship, where there's real love, will be seen and felt. Simplicity and godly sincerity. What a great blessing if the Lord has bestowed these things upon us. Because where these things are, there will be that laboring for the benefit of one another, but most of all, for the honor and glory of God. Now, the Lord's servant John, he was well fitted, was he not, to write on love? He is referred to as a beloved disciple. He was indeed a friend. The Lord Jesus Christ called him and he followed him. And he knew what it was at one time to lie upon his breast at supper time. He was the one that they asked to ask the Lord Jesus who it should be that should betray him. And what does John say as he writes in his epistle? And that a wonderful word in connection with this subject of friendship. Oh, says John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Oh, where there's real love, my friends, we shall not see one another coming and walk the other side of the street to avoid them. No, where there's real love, you'll be only too glad to meet. Is that not so on such occasions as this, as we gather together? It has been expressed already to me how glad you are to see me. Well, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to be able to speak to you. And I look up to the Lord to help me, so that I may be a help to you, and that together we may be a help to our society. So says John, herein is love. Not herein is our love made perfect. We may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And then we noticed in looking into the second book of Samuel again how David manifested his love, even toward the offspring of Saul. Are there not any to whom I can do a kindness of the household of Saul? You see, David hadn't had a very good treatment from Saul, had he? We were discussing, your dear pastor and myself, after tea, I think it was, or just before, the wonderful love that was found in the heart of Joseph when he made himself known to his brethren. Oh, how brimful he must have been of love toward those guilty brethren. And he says to them, come near unto me. What a manifestation of friendship, of love. And there will be nearness where there's love. And so we find David saying, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And you read that 9th chapter, the 2nd book of Samuel, and you'll see how David acted. And he said to Mephibosheth, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. They should eat bread at my table continually. Oh, this wonderful blessing of kindness springing from friendship. Oh, I say, and springing from love. Well, now, as the apostle wrote his epistle to Titus, we have, I feel, a crowning word which leads us particularly to the latter part of the text. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we have a demonstration of it in those words that the apostle writes to his son Titus in the 3rd chapter of Titus. And it is a wonderful word, I feel, and we would desire to feel and realize the power of it from time to time as we gather together in the Lord's name and as we seek to minister to the Lord's people and do those things that he would have us do. What does the apostle say concerning friendship and concerning that which has been manifested toward us, unworthy as we are? Well, in the 3rd chapter of Titus, the 4th verse, he says, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not for works of righteousness, which we have done. You see, whatever we may do in a way of friendship, we take nothing to ourselves. It is that which the Lord works in us. And when he works in us, then we do his commands. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And in the conclusion of that chapter, the apostle says, and let heirs also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. What did we read in the chapter just now? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And if you and I have the unspeakable mercy to be among fruit-bearing branches, our greatest concern, our greatest sorrow often will be our barrenness. Oh, I do believe those who bear most fruit feel to be most barren. And come in with the poet where he said, quickened by thee and kept alive, I'd flourish and bear fruit. My life would from thy self derive, my vigor from thy root. So says the apostle, all that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Oh, who would not say amen to such language as that? And may we feel the sweetness and power of it from time to time as we seek to do in our little way what the Lord Jesus Christ has left for us to do. He has left us an example that we should follow his steps. And may we be favored to follow his steps, even in that we seek to do good to others, to do good and to communicate. Forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And the Lord Jesus Christ very beautifully speaks to us in that chapter we've read, and may we know what it is to abide in him. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in a vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me ye can do nothing. We are constantly being taught this, constantly brought to the end of our resources, constantly brought to him, and yet you see, he has never let us down. We've been tempted many times that we should be let down, but that's just what Satan delights in doing. We live to prove constantly that Satan is a liar, as Christ said he was. He is a liar and the father of it. Oh, then may we be favored to still press on, as one has said, if thou press on, the crowds will fly, but if thou faint to Jesus Christ, and he will send supply. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. It is because we have so many friends, we have a desire in return to show ourselves friendly. And as the Lord may help even this evening in that practical way, it is my desire that the Lord's name may be glorified and your souls may be truly blessed, and that even that word we have heard this evening may be fulfilled in our midst. I am so glad that your dear pastor has felt led to join us in committee, and I can certainly witness to the truth of what he said about our little committee meetings, because there have been times of real fellowship and we have sought to do what we could for the benefit of others, and have found it is not vain to serve the Lord in this way. We do it not by way of merit. There's no merit in what we do, but we realize that all the merit is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who indeed is set before us in the latter part of that verse. There is a friend which sticketh closer than a brother. Here we have been favored to sing of it. How beautiful were those words that we sung, and I pass it on to you again for your consideration relative to the Lord Jesus Christ. A method strange this friend has shown of making love divinely known to rebels doomed to die. Unasked, he takes our humblest form and condescends to be a worm to lift us up on high. Could you have a greater manifestation of friendship than that? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man, stooping from the coming down from the highest to the lowest to lift up poor sinners from the lowest to the highest. How we have to join with one who said, he saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all, He saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh, how great. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I shall not keep you any longer, because I soon tire these days. I have been rather put to it of late, under heavy affliction in one sense. And so I leave the few remarks and pray that what we seek from time to time to sow in felt weakness may be raised by him in power. The Lord bless you each and all, and do good, even as the psalmist prays in the end of the 90th psalm, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build there the walls of Jerusalem. And concerning our friends, we can say, can we not, wholeheartedly together this evening, my soul shall pray for Zion still, while life and breath remain, there my best friends, my kindred dwell, there God, my Savior reigns. And if Zion, the people of God, are our best friends now, they will be forever. Oh, I say, what a wonderful mercy if the Lord has brought us out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light and caused us to know what it is to be one with him and with his people, that we may presently join in the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. May he grant it so for his name's sake.
I'm sure, my friends, I express your feelings when I do extend to our dear friend Mr. Mercer our thanks for coming to us and for the edifying remarks that he has been enabled to make in the name of the Lord this evening. While he was speaking, and consistent with the prayer of our friend Mr. Buggins, my mind went to a little incident in my early life. We lived in the country at that time. We had mains water laid to the house, but at the side of the house stood a pump. And we boys, from time to time, found quite a measure of enjoyment in playing with the pump. And we could pump the handle and nothing happened. And we could continue to pump that handle and nothing happened. But when we went indoors and obtained a vessel and got a drop of water and poured it down the top of the pump, then when we pumped the handle, we found the water gush out, and it would continue to gush out, so that a little poured in brought a considerable quantity out. But my friends, isn't that so in the spirit of the text this evening? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. A little exercise of friendship among men invariably brings forth a good measure of friendship in return. Another thing that I just mentioned with regard to this matter is any relationship that reveals the Spirit of Christ is worthy of our admiration. Now, this matter of friendship, every act of friendship is some small reflection of Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing it is, not only to be enabled to manifest Christ's Spirit in any particular, What a wonderful benefit it is to be the recipient, even through men, of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There's always comfort proceeds from those things which harmonize with the Spirit of Jesus Christ toward men. May the Lord help us to manifest our friendship in every practical and convenient way, and be sure of this, my dear friends, that we shall reap as we sow. And indeed, if we sow friendship, we shall not be wanting of a harvest of friendship. And may the Lord bless the remarks that have been made here this evening and sanctify them to our practical use and to his own glory.